be seated. A reading now from the book of Seuss, the Gospel of the Grinch, chapter 1. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. Whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Who's, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown as the warm, lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his grinchy fingers nervously drumming, I must find a way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow he knew all the Who girls and boys would wake bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise. Oh, the noise, 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 noise. The one thing he hated, the noise, 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 noise. Then the Who's young and old would sit down to a feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who pudding and rare Who roast beef, which was something the Grinch couldn't stand in the least. And then they'd do something he liked least of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together with Christmas bells ringing. They'd stand hand in hand, and the Who's would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderfully awful idea. It always starts early. My daughter will try to start playing Christmas music in September. On Halloween night, she will gleefully declare that Halloween is over. We can now start playing the Christmas music. At which point, my wife suddenly becomes the staunchest defender of Thanksgiving you have ever seen. We must allow the turkey to have his holiday. But despite her best efforts, my wife can't hold back the tide. Slowly, persistently, the Christmas music comes. The ads begin to show up. The decorations are hung. Slowly, Christmas seeps in and is upon us. It isn't the playing of Christmas music that first tips me off every year, though. It is something far more ominous. About mid-October, early November at the latest, I will see them begin to crop up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Someone will post a meme that I dread more than any other. It isn't Christmas without Christ. These memes are the harbinger of articles about a non-existent war on Christmas, how Christians are being forced to downplay their holiday because it might offend, how store clerks are smugly saying happy holidays as a slap in the face to the belief of millions everywhere, how some public institution isn't allowed to set up its 1953 nativity scene, the one where the paint is peeling off the donkey and the baby Jesus looks like he was born in Ohio. Every year it starts, Christians itching for a fight about something, eager to be indignant about something, jump at the chance to boycott someone because they dare not let their employees say Merry Christmas, or because, God forbid, they have a holiday tree. I see these ridiculous things begin to pop up, inflated fake news articles about the offense we poor set upon Christians' face when we're just trying to celebrate the baby Jesus while standing in line for a great deal on a 53-inch TV because the 52-inch TV we bought last year just isn't big enough. Merry Christmas indeed. So worried are we about perceived made-up slights we might have to contend with, we barge into the season bellowing at the top of our lungs, Jesus is the reason for the season. Instead of embracing the ideals and the true reasons for this moment, the coming of Christ to us, the gift of grace, the emergence of hope and peace and love and joy in a time of struggle and fear, we instead become hyper-vigilant and hypersensitive to anyone who might dare not fully be allowing Jesus to promote the gross overcapitalization of our consumeristic greed. I've watched it get worse and worse every year, to where now when I see it arrive, I no longer see Christians straining to keep the focus of the season on Christ, but Christians just as wrapped up in that consumeristic greed, simply looking for a reason to be angry and irritated for the next 30 days. Congratulations, church. We have become the Grinch. But we don't have to be. This is a time to remember, to celebrate joy, the immense celebration of God in our lives, the moments that bless us and lift us. This is a time to remember, to celebrate hope. The idea that no matter how dark the night might become, Jesus is there in it with us, standing as our true light. This is a time to remember, to celebrate peace, the coming of Jesus to heal us, to make us whole, to set us free. This is a time to remember, to celebrate love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. If we devoted half of our energy, half of our attention, half of our focus that we now commit to Christmas offense radar, diligently searching for which retailer won't wish us a Merry Christmas while we gorge ourselves on the materialistic goodies they've offered up at 50% off manufacturer's suggested retail price. If we took half of that wasted pious energy and instead focus on being the presence of joy during this season, being the presence of hope, the presence of peace, the presence of love to our family and friends and co-workers and neighbors and strangers. Imagine if for a moment we quit wondering whether or not the overworked, underpaid store clerk is going to mumble the appropriately approved holiday greeting, and instead we looked them in the eye, we smiled, and we said, thank you. Merry Christmas. What might a gift like that do? And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes, then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing. Without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, and bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.